I encourage you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to read together the verses 4 through 8. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 through 8. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, you do not need to say anything about it. This is the Word of God. One of the weird things that happens when you are a pastor is that every once in a while your name shows up in the Ministers of the Week, and Pastor Andrew and Angela's name showed up there. So I'm going to pray for them, because it's kind of weird to pray for yourself publicly. And I say that just so that nobody thinks, oh, is there something wrong? It's just the names there, and they deserve to be prayed for as much as the rest of us. Father, I pray that you have blessed Pastor Andrew and Angela. Give them great joy in serving you. And I pray that as we look to your word, you would fill us with the hope and the encouragement which your word is intended to give. Amen. It has been an unbelievable week. There have been so many things that have happened in the last 7 days that can discourage us. On the same day that a couple of fanatics set off bombs in Boston, some other fanatics set off bombs in Baghdad. 3 people died in Boston. 55 died in Baghdad. We heard, I'd like to bet one guy who was in Boston when the explosions occurred there, and then went home to Texas and was there when that plant blew up. So he experienced firsthand both of those incredible events. And in the same week, there was an earthquake in China. Yesterday, a group of people who were just trying to exercise their right to smoke weed got shot in Denver. And 5 snowboarders just out having some fun died in an avalanche. And those aren't necessarily even the worst things that happened in the last week. We live in a fallen world, a dark world, a world where it seems that no matter where you live, no matter what you're doing, evil can happen. And it's so easy to lose sight of God's blessings. Over the weeks in preparation for Easter, I encourage you to take little sticky notes and put them on a banner of blessings at the back of the church. And many of you did that. We had 700 or something like that. There were a lot of little blessing notes. And over the last week, they all migrated to one banner or my office, because they wouldn't all fit on one banner. And we've left a banner that if you turn around, you can see it as a banner with all those blessings. And underneath it is a blank banner. That's for those of you that want to continue to remember your blessings and put them down, to put there. But in the meantime, I'm going to try to share some of those blessings with you, because it is so easy for us to forget the blessings that God has given to us. One person writes this, and this is a specifically dated blessing. He said, thanks for a beautiful funeral for Emmeline. Got to meet her son Randy, and so can pass her story to him. Out of difficult times, there's an opportunity to point someone to Jesus. And I've actually read most of the notes that people have put up there, and this is a fairly common theme. So as I repeat them, I'm hoping to do this until I run out of them. One woman writes this. Her blessing is, "My husband and kids." What an incredible testimony. I pray that we as husbands and fathers would be the source of our wife being willing to write down, "I thank God that my blessing is my husband and kids." And then someone writes this, "For thanks for the blessings we know of and those we don't. For God has blessed us incredibly, and oftentimes we miss it. We don't recognize the power of His blessing in our lives." In the midst of a week where things have in many ways seemed like gotten out of hand, like there's no place where there can be security, at a time when many of us have a natural inclination to want to strike out and make things right, where numerous people were glued to the television in the hopes that they would find those weirdos, those fanatics, those evil people, we have something to offer. We have a place to go. We have a place of hope. When Paul writes to the church in Thessalonia, he delivers a message of encouragement to the church of Jesus Christ. A message which I hope you will find encouraging this morning. And he starts in our text today with these incredibly beautiful words. "We know." Those are words of absolute certainty. Those are words which take away from us the issues of, "I wonder what's going to happen." He says, "We know, brothers loved by God." An incredible statement. He refers to us as those loved by God. "We know this, that He," that God, "has chosen you." Now, that brings to my mind the idea of being wanted. It brings to my mind the times when you're playing a pickup game of something and two captains are chosen, and usually it's the biggest guy or the meanest guys, that the ones that nobody wants to fight or who's going to be the captain, and they get to pick teams. You're familiar with that scenario, right? Some of you are familiar with it because of the shame that went along with it, because the two captains would be there and you just were hoping that you wouldn't be the last person chosen. But there's an interesting thing that happens when you have that scenario, and it is this. The captain will pick somebody, and then what happens before the next pick? The two people start talking over, who's the next best person to have? What do you think? You know, who would serve our team the best? And that's something I want to encourage you in today. Because at the back of the sanctuary are three banners. There's a blessing banner. The white banners are the blessing banners. And there's a yellow banner, which is actually attached to the sound booth. And I have this idea that God's in the business of choosing. And you don't have to fully understand the concept of election and the concept of God's choosing. None of us understand it, even those of us who are absolutely certain that we know the truth. We don't understand how does it work that God knows from the foundation of time who is going to be a part of His family, who He's going to adopt. And yet at the same time, He encourages us to pray that others would accept Him. It's this tension of philosophy and theology which we take by faith. It's part of what we embrace when we understand that God has chosen us and He has also given us free will. And He has told us to pray for one another and to pray for those that they would turn to Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to ask that you embrace this concept that God is the captain of the team. And you have been chosen already, and now you have the opportunity to influence who He chooses. That's the idea of our 5-second prayer. That we know that no one comes to the Father unless the Father draws him. And so we pray that prayer, "Heavenly Father, please draw Shannon to Jesus and make him an ambassador of Christ." That name, everybody should have one by now, even those most reluctant to put a little name down there. You maybe don't want to say it out loud, but I'm going to ask that you write it down. We have sticky notes back there, and there's a yellow banner, and I encourage you, take that name that you have been praying for, and some of you have a lot more than one name, take that name and put it on a sticky note. Just the first name. We don't want to embarrass anybody. Now, if somebody has, you know, a really unusual first name like Jonadab, that's probably kind of recognizable. You know, but so maybe you want to put, you know, J, you know, however, disguise it however you want. God is going to know. And if you're praying for them, they're probably not reading the banner anyway. So just put their name down. And there are other people in this church who, for some reason, live such a sheltered life they can't think of anybody that they know that doesn't know Jesus Christ. That's a sad commentary, by the way. But they'll pray for them. And, you know, here's the thing. God, who is in the business of calling us and adopting us into his family, has told us to pray for one another and pray for others that they would be part of the family. And therefore, I don't understand how it works, but God will move and draw people unto himself on the basis, in part, of our prayers for them. And so, take to heart this issue, that sometime in the past, somebody had you on their five-second prayer list. Okay, maybe they didn't call it five-second prayer. We can't help that they didn't know what it was called. But they had you on their list, and they prayed for you, and you came to Jesus Christ, in part because someone asked God to draw you to him. You can do the same, and we can expand that. And instead of just being you praying for an individual, others will read that list, and they'll pray for them also. Because this issue of chosenness is a significant part of what we have to offer our society. The issue of being loved by God is a significant part of what we should be giving to those people who are living in a dark society. That we would be loved by God and chosen. That we would be understood that we are valuable, significant, and important. And it is these encouraging words which Paul would speak to us today. He says, we know that you are chosen of God. Because, now Paul's going to lay out for us, three signs of God's choosing us. The first is that they received the message. That comes in verse 5. See, we know that God has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. The gospel message is at the heart of what we have to offer society. It is also at the heart of what we have to rely upon when difficult times happen around us. Paul says, we know that we are chosen of God because we have received the message of the gospel. We have received the message that all of mankind has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have understood that God loved us, and while we are still sinners, Christ, he sent Christ to die on our behalf. And we have accepted the message that those who believe in Jesus Christ are saved, that they have redemption in their future, that they know their way is going to be heaven. We have this understanding that at the bedrock of everything that happens is that we have a relationship with God the Father on the basis of the love of Jesus Christ and our acceptance of that and faith in his work, his death upon the cross and his resurrection, and we anticipate and look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. So we have this bedrock sense of faith that we have received because we know the gospel message. And even though society might reject the gospel message, we know it is the truth, and we will hold to it. For as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And that's why when we look at the gospel, we recognize that there is something significantly different about the gospel. There is something which stands against all the forces of society, which the Scripture actually speaks about. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 1. The message of the cross, that is the gospel, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We live in a society which is a dark society, which has so many things, not just the American society, but we live in a world where there is so much room for discouragement and despair, where there is so much opportunity for darkness to seem to win the day, and we recognize that many people in the world reject the gospel because it is to them foolishness, but to us it is the power of God. Paul goes on and says, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Our world will tell us that smart people don't believe in faith. Our God tells us the smart people are dumb. The smart people will be frustrated. He goes on and says, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? See, the wisdom of the world says we ought to embrace everyone, that there ought to be total freedom to believe whatever you want to believe, and then everything's going to be better. But what happens when people believe what they want to believe? They begin to blow each other up. When we embrace anything and any belief, we have people who get shot because they're smoking weed. When you embrace anything and everything, when the wisdom of the world says it's okay to have same-sex marriages, when the wisdom of the world says it's okay to do the things which Scripture speaks against, they get what they deserve. And the wisdom of the world turns into folly. Look at, continue in 1 Corinthians. Since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, that is to say, the wisdom of the world says there is no God, we don't need to know God, we don't have any consideration of a supreme being, that only those people who are weak are the ones who rely upon faith. In the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom didn't know Him. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs. Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. See, in the midst of all the darkness of our society and all the bad things that happen, whether it is a bombing in Boston or Baghdad or an explosion at a fertilizer plant in Texas, or whether it's a shooting in Denver, or whether it's an earthquake in China, or all the things that have happened in the last week, the wisdom of God overcomes the wisdom of man, and we believe in that which is powerful because it is more powerful than the supposed wisdom of a society which has rejected God. Paul says, we know that we are chosen of God, for we received the message with power and with the Holy Spirit which was promised in John chapter 16, delivered in Acts chapter 8, experienced in Romans 5, becomes a part of our life in 1 Corinthians 3. The Spirit that has sealed us, according to Ephesians, that filled us, again in Ephesians, in whom we've been baptized and renewed in 1 Corinthians and in Titus. We receive this Holy Spirit, and although we're within a congregation that doesn't have the open expression of charismatic gifts, the Holy Spirit is here today. The Holy Spirit is in you, the temple, your body being the temple of the Spirit of God. We have the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit, and that changes us, and it gives us something which the world does not have. Paul says, we know that we are chosen because we have received the message with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. We have what the writer to Hebrews calls the anchor of the soul, Hebrews 6. That our faith is this bedrock of solid foundation of theology and philosophy, which enables us, in spite of suffering, again in our text, that we accepted the message in spite of suffering, in spite of opposition, that we received the message with deep conviction. It is that deep conviction of the message of the gospel which enables us, in the midst of all the bad things that happen around us, it enables us to continue to be steadfast and faithful and to not worry about our own lives, but instead to have a compassionate outlook for those people who are affected by the miseries of society. It is that deep conviction which allows us, in the face of the uncertainty of society around us, and there's so many things which are uncertain, whether it be for years we've been told, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold, it's a hedge against inflation, and guess what happened to gold in the last couple of weeks? Was it down 20% this week? Wow, that was a good bet, wasn't it? The people who are saying buy gold are saying sell gold, sell gold. In the midst of all of this, we have this deep conviction that the gospel is the word of God, that the things recorded here are true, that we can have faith in He who is going to redeem us, and when the trumpet sounds and every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, we will find that we have been on the right side, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. We know we are chosen because we have received the message. And Paul goes on and he talks about how the church in Thessalonica had embraced the message. Verse 6 of our text. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. The church in Thessalonica has responded to Paul on the message of salvation. They have received that message, and part of what happened as a result of that is they began to have a changed life. And this changed life is part of what ought to happen when you come to know Jesus Christ. Paul says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. It's a dual issue, because part of what we all need is we need the gospel with flesh on it, don't we? It's like those kids that watch a baseball player or a football player, and they learn to throw or bat, swing a bat or run in the same way that their idol does, because they become imitators of that person, because they think if they can just get his moves, make it look the same way he makes it look, they'll be able to be as good as him. You see, what Paul says is that as you have received the gospel, you begin to embrace it by recognizing those people who have walked this earth before you and who have lived faithfully and seeking to live in a similar manner. So they have embraced the gospel by being imitators of Paul and imitators of the Lord. They begin to look at our society and our world through the lens of Christ. And they begin to respond to the things that are happening around us in the same way that Christ would have responded to them. It is where the Church of Jesus Christ stands out, because we begin to see the things happening in society, and instead of looking for someone to blame, we look for Christ to intervene. Instead of looking for some way to get justice, we look for Christ to utilize the events of our society and events of history in order to draw people to Him. You know, society has enough people who are willing to look at what happened in Boston, or look at what happened in Texas, or any of the evil things that have happened in the last week. And society has plenty of people who are willing to point fingers and blame and accuse and sue and handle that in a way which is vengeful and spiteful. But we are looking, what I believe the world is looking for is some individuals who will stand up and say, there but for the grace of God go I. One of the blessings that we received this week is we weren't in Texas. And we don't have to look to Texas and say, you know, there was somebody who messed up in a fertilizer plant and we need to sue the socks off of them. We don't need, as believers, to respond to what happened in Boston and say we want to get a pound of flesh. Because that's not how Jesus responded. And when we are imitators of Christ, in spite of opposition, in spite of the things that the world is saying about us, we respond to Him, to those things around us, in a way which brings glory to Him. For Jesus Christ, when He was rejected, when He was crucified, He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. When we embrace the gospel message, we find there's a joy which can only come from the Holy Spirit. We stay faithful to that message, that bedrock of the anchor of our soul. In spite of the bad things that are happening around us, we return to this one thing. Jesus loves us. And He even loves those people who aren't lovable by the world's standards. Which brings me to the third point. Not only did they receive the message and embrace the message, but they spread the message. Look what the text says. Now they have already said that they have become imitators of Paul and of the Lord. And now in verse 8 they said, verse 7, you became a model to all the believers. The Lord's message rang out from you. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Our faith in Jesus Christ ought to change us from society. The things which we proclaim on Sunday impact the way we lead our lives and run our businesses on Monday and throughout the whole week. That we spread the message that we are here as faithful servants of the King, that we will become a model for others of how they ought to respond to the evil which happens around us. We are to be to spread the message that there is a better, there is a more fitting way to respond to the evil of our world. That we present the light in the midst of the darkness of our society. We are this model. We have this opportunity to take the next generation and teach them how to respond to things like what happened in the last week. We can respond as the world responds with anger and bitterness and attempt to get even and extract vengeance. Or we can respond as Jesus would respond, with a love which surpasses all understanding. And we become a model for the next generation. Every once in a while I wonder, why is it that there aren't more Christian fanatics some more second-generation fanatics, parents who have been raised in the church and raise up children who will, well, what's a Christian supposed to do? We want to raise up kids who will drop a bomb in the Boston Marathon? No, we want to raise up fanatics for Jesus Christ who will, in the midst of the crises around them, they will go and they will help out. They will feed the poor. They will feed the hungry. They will clothe those who need clothing. They will be involved in ministries of compassion and care. And they will present the love of Jesus Christ around them because they're fanatical about this. God loves every single person. Even those people who mistakenly would blow up a bomb at a marathon. See, that's the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel isn't that we ought to extract a pound of flesh from those guys. The message of the gospel is that we ought to pray for their salvation. For the reason they do those things is because they do not know Jesus. We ought to become a model to our society around us, a model of forgiveness, of love and acceptance, and say, God loves you and I will love you until such time as you respond to Jesus Christ. They spread the message. I love the way it says it. You know, they were a model to Macedonia Achaia, and the message of the Lord rang out from you. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. At some point, we as believers in Jesus Christ ought to stand up and take a position which is the opposite of society's. We ought to be embracing and proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. As evil as people are, as evil and as sinful as other people are, we too were evil and we too were sinful. Many of us still are. We too are in need of forgiveness. And the message we ought to be proclaiming is a message of love because God loves all of mankind. He is not wishful that any should perish. And therefore we should not wish it. Paul says, we know He has chosen you. We know He has chosen you. How will the world know that He has chosen us if we do not embrace the message, if we do not receive it with joy, and if we're not willing to spread a message which is different than the message of society? For part of what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ is that we have a recognition that outside of Jesus Christ, people are intent upon evil. And the real problem with our society is a lack of Christ. The real problem in our world is not that there's too many Muslims, it's that there's not enough Christians. The real problem of our society is not that other religions teach their children fanaticism. The real problem of our society is that believers have failed to be a model to those around us. We have failed to live up to a standard which causes the world to say, wow, there's no comparison. Let us embrace Christ. I hope, I pray, that in the next week there will be no bombings anywhere on this earth. I pray that in this next week there will be no natural disasters. That no one's going to go skiing in some backcountry place and lose their lives in an avalanche. I pray that there'll be no industrial accidents, but I've actually read the end of the book, and the end of the book seems to indicate these things are going to get worse and worse. So more than that, I pray this, that the world would find Jesus. That we would be able to say of those around us, I know God has chosen you, for you have received the gospel. You have embraced it seeking to be like Jesus. And now you are spreading the message of love. For that is the message of the cross. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help us today to have absolute confidence that we are chosen of you because of our response to the gospel message. That we've received it with joy in spite of whatever tribulation might come along with receiving the gospel. We have embraced it that we seek on a daily basis to live our lives as a reflection of the way Jesus would live His life. And that through us, both individually and corporately, the gospel message might be spread. Maybe not throughout all the world, but throughout our world. The people that know us would see that we respond always out of faithfulness to Christ in love and compassion for those around us. May the gospel live in us. Amen. Before the benediction, I encourage you, remember that we are having a garage sale. It's delayed for 2 weeks, but that doesn't mean you can stop bringing stuff. We actually did that because it's been kind of cold, and we're trying to make sure we have good weather for that. So the garage sale in 2 weeks, not this week, or actually, it's whatever. We've delayed it a couple weeks, so it's not this weekend, but 2 weekends after that. But still, you can bring stuff because that is the way our youth group is able to raise funds to be able to go on trips, which is a significant part of their spiritual development. Now, may the Spirit of Christ guide you. May you remember day by day to lift up someone with a 5-second prayer.